Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yeah, I feel like you don't really give a fuck, and that's what like so many girls like try to do, but you actually do it, which is pretty sick.
You give zero fucks.
Yeah, no fucks. I mean, that was the problem. That's been the problem like my whole life, is that like I cannot lie, like I cannot be fake, and like in situations like Rush and at IU, that didn't work in my favor, and it's finally like panning out well, which is amazing.
Oh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Hey guys, welcome back to CK's Juicy Pod. I'm here with my favorite guest to date, Victoria from TikTok.
Hi guys, how are you?
Phil, are you excited?
I'm very excited, yeah. A former Hoosier for 1 year, I think, right? Couldn't handle it, so she left Bloomington, but she was a Hoosier for a little bit, which is exciting.
Yeah, I had to go glow up elsewhere, you know. I had to go chase the gains, the bag in New York.
On a real note, you're from North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you moved to Bloomington to go to IU for like your freshman year. And was it just like not your thing, or were you like, I've always wanted to go to fashion school, or what was the vibe?
Yeah, like my mom's from the city, my dad's from North Carolina, and they like met in the city. And so neither of them like recommended their college experience. And so like, I just never knew where I wanted to go in high school. And I was dating this kid, and he was like, yo, my parents met at IU, like, I think you'd really like it. And I was like, oh, bet, like, let's go there together. Like my
no
high school
way.
Boyfriend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then his ass didn't even get into IU. And he was like, I'm gonna transfer. And I was like, bet, I'll still go. I remember I'd watch like the Total Frat or like I'm Schmacked videos on YouTube, and I was like, this looks lit. Like, I was like, I want to be in a sorority. I grew up in Chapel Hill, like where UNC is. And so I thought I wanted to be in a sorority, but like, yeah, that's why I went. It looked lit.
So was the sorority life not the vibe? Like, did you leave before sororities? Because I know IU's rush is really weird.
Yeah, they rushed second semester. So like first semester I got there and I was already like, oh, the vibes are weird. I don't know if I liked it. And I was like, I'm gonna push through and rush. And then I rushed and realized like I fucking hated it and left.
Did you hate it because you were just like, this is not my vibe? Or did like it just wasn't your thing?
I just can't. I'm really bad at lying. Like, I'm really bad at being fake. And when I went through the whole rush process, I was like, yo, like, I can't mask the fact that I hate every single person I'm meeting right now.
The girl rush process here at IU is brutal. Like, girls get so sad about that thing.
Yeah, no, I was, like, down bad depressed. Like, I gained, like, 40 pounds because of it. Like, I got gingivitis because I was going through a Jewel pot a day. I was like, oh, I need to go home. It was, like, a fucking binky, like,
Wait, yeah. I actually love your TikToks about your Jewel. I think they're the funniest ever.
Are you still on the Jewel grind? There's like so many vapes nowadays. You still Jewel?
Oh, fuck no. Fuck no. We are anti-Jewel. Like, we're all for the Jewel slander. Look at this. Look at this shit. Like, no!
There we go.
Yeah, no. I'm big. So after I like quit Jewel and moved to New York, I was like, oh, I want to be like a skinny bitch, fitness bitch. And so I got into running, and you can't Jewel with running, you know?
Facts.
Yeah.
And didn't you like start, it was like green tea or something became your thing instead of the Jewel? What was it?
Oh yeah. So like to quit Jewel, I realized I had like this like weird ass oral fixation. Like I'd literally want to suck on it all the time, like a fucking binky. And so I like carry around a canteen, and anytime I wanted the Jewel, I just like sip it. And like provide the oral fixation.
Like the action of like what the Jewel would do for you. So you moved to New York, you became this fitness queen, and now you're like literally blowing up on TikTok.
Yeah.
How long, like when did you move to New York?
I moved to New York. So after my freshman year, so what, like 2018, 2019, I've been here for 3 years now.
And you tell us about what school do you go to and what you're studying.
I'm a history major at the New School. The New School is actually like mostly a fashion school, but I'm not in like a fashion program. And I didn't really ever want to, but I always wanted to go to like a different school. And the New School is like a literally sponsored socialist school, like all seminar style. Like it flips it on its head. It's so different, but I love it.
I'm confused. I call it Parsons, but I'm like, what's the difference?
Yeah. So like, you know how there's like Kelly School of Business, like that's the program inside of IU. So Parsons is the fashion program inside of the New School.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I actually visited Parsons or the New School and FIT, but I decided I was more of an LA bitch.
Yeah.
Which I am. But I remember the New School being so like, at least Parsons was so like, you have to paint to find what color your heart desires. Like, and I was like, ooh, this, like the fashion stuff is like a little too far-fetched for me. Like it was a little less practical. So I'm curious how the history is for you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the history is like bullshit. Like it's relatively a bullshit program, but that I wanted that because like I could work at the same time and be in school. So like school is like literally like we all sit around and hold hands and go kumbaya, but no, like it's like we touch on subjects that are important, but like class is not as rigorous as say IU was. The art programs though are like mad intense, like you're saying.
Totally.
Wait, what do you want to do with a history degree?
This is a loaded fucking question. I don't know. What am I doing on this podcast? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, who knows? No, I kid.
Same. I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil's and Kelly. Doesn't he look like it?
Kelly bot.
Yeah. It'd be like that.
I want to dive a little bit into this running thing because I'm so curious. Mm-hmm. For me, all I want to be is like a long distance runner, but it's just like, I get into like phases. Like sometimes I'm like, okay, like the most I can run is like probably like 6 miles. Mm. But like after that, I'm like, how do you force yourself to become a runner if you're not a runner? You know what I mean? Do you think it's like innately like a thing that's born in you, or you can force anyone can become one?
I think anybody can become a runner. Not everybody can be a good runner. I'm a trash runner, but I still consider myself a runner. You know, like I was really stuck at that 5 mile mark mentally, especially lifestyle wise, because I was still like, when I signed up for the marathon, I was still Jeweling heavily. And I was like, nah, this won't faze me. Like I can still run a marathon while Jeweling.
You're like, I'm going to bring the Jewel on the marathon.
I would bring it on fucking runs with me. And I'd put it in my waistband and my leggings and I would hit that shit. And I thought I looked so cool. Like, I mean, I did probably look cool, but though there's like that 5 mile mental block, but then like once you get past it, like you just get in your bag and you like turn off your mind mind. It's just very mental, I think.
So how far do you run usually nowadays?
I mean, like when I'm marathon training, it's like 10, 15, like something like around there. Casual runs are like 2 to 5 to 7. I was training for the Berlin Marathon in 2020 and then it got canceled and then they delayed it to this year, but I think it's going to get canceled again. So,
damn. I tried to run 2 miles the other day and I was dead after 2 miles. I don't know how people go past like 3.
Were you quick with it? Like, was it like light work? Like,
no, it was like an 8-minute pace. So it was not good.
You tried.
Wait, so what do you do? Like, if I was like, okay, I want to begin my running journey. Like, I want to get past the 3-mile mark. How do you do that? Should I run at a slower pace and just get to 3 miles? Or like, what do you suggest?
Yes, yes, yes. Like you should like, well, there's like a bunch of variables. Like, are you listening to music? Because music will fuck up your pace. It'll push you farther than you need to go. A lot of people run too fast and then they can't go the distance. Or it's like, are you turn off the music. And if that's like, that should fix all your problems. If it's like lifestyle, that'll affect you at the 5 to 10 mile mark. You know, like the first 2-3 miles are usually like things like music, your shoes, like the wrong path, shit like that. But then like once you want to go long, it's like adjusting your lifestyle to acclimate.
What do you mean adjusting your lifestyle?
Like people like not eating an hour before the run or sleeping well or drinking enough water so your legs don't seize up like at mile 7. You know, it's like when I know I'm going to run 10, 15 miles, I drink a gallon of water a day usually, you know? So it's like doing all these things so that I can run later.
Got it. Love to hear it. And so what was the hardest part about like your weight loss journey? Because I love when you talk about like your weight loss stuff and like getting ready for the gym and like I just love your like gym content. So
thanks. Yeah. That. Yeah. I mean like hardest part is like knowing when to stop. Like anybody can lose weight. It's just like, when do you decide you're happy with your body? Like, when do you like, because even like, I think like for men and women, there's like this whole stigma. It's like, I want to get more shredded. I want to get more jacked. I want to like bench even harder. I want to get even skinnier. And it's like, dude, when the fuck does it stop? When you actually enjoy the process, you know?
Also, like, I feel like for me, my struggle is like, what sucks is like, For a while I had this nutritionist that I'm actually going to this week. I'm going to him tomorrow. And like when I started him in January last year, and he's the guy that does like, he helped Khloe Kardashian lose a bunch of weight and whatever. And Phil and I come from a very like sports oriented family. So I grew up playing a lot of sports. So we've always been pretty fit, but I gained 1 year in LA. I just went crazy, like bonkers partying, like gained weight. And so Golia, who's the nutritionist, he really helped me. And like from January to about like, I would say June or so, I lost like 10, it was, actually I would say it was like 13 to 16% of body fat, which was like pretty good. I was like satisfied, but at the end of that, like losing whatever 16%, I still was like unhappy with my body. So I'm like, what's the deal with that? Is that like, is it just a long ass, like how long did it take you to lose your weight?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I lost like 40 pounds in like 4 or 5 months, probably. Holy
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was always like skinny, like my whole life. Like I was always like, I'm 5'9". Like I've always been like a taller girl and I've always been thinner. And like, I just got really depressed and gained a bunch of weight because of that at IU. So like the weight wasn't from like a good place. And so I like threw myself into the gym in this healthy lifestyle and like the weight, like I shedded the weight and stuff, but it's like, I was still insecure because I was still very depressed from the rush process. Like people literally told me, I don't want you in my sorority. I don't want to like live with you. And I had never like literally been told that in my life, like that, like I'm a person that people don't want to be around. And so I felt very like insecure in who I was. Even though I lost the weight and even though I was going to a new school and I was like following my heart, I felt like, who the fuck was I and why didn't people want to be around me? You know?
Totally. I feel like my struggle is like, at what point is this just like my genetic body type versus mm-hmm. like, because like, I mean, Phil knows, I literally like Peloton, I work out. I mean, I've been slacking, I've been eating pizza lately, but like most of the time, like even my roommate knows, like I eat pretty damn healthy. Like I don't even eat like a lot of carb. Like I only have like a cheat meal or two on the weekend, whatever. I keep it clean. And then I like also work out. I'll either run or Peloton. I'll do the cardio. And it's so annoying because it's like, I'll never have the Instabatty body.
I think Instabatty body, nobody has it. Like unless you go under the knife, like, yeah. Like, I mean, like that's the thing. Like it's the Instabatty body because it's not like literally feasible for anybody who's outside of Instagram. Like, yeah.
I just admire you because like, I can tell that you're like, you going to the gym, like that makes you feel confident, like going to the gym. Like, and I like that because I don't know, even like sometimes I'm a confident ass bitch and sometimes I'm like not happy with my body. And I'm like, is this just how my body is? You know what I mean?
We love seeing girls at the gym. It's like the best place to see girls, seeing them get after it. It's like so hot.
That's tea.
No, like, okay. So like riddle me this, bitch. Like I've been going to the gym every day for over 3 years. I have never had a guy approach me at the gym. It's like, do I have a massive ass schlong? Like what's happening?
I mean, what are we supposed to, like, how are we supposed to approach you when like, are you in the treadmill? Like, do we just come up when you're running on the treadmill or what?
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, dude, like, I mean, like people constantly are like, oh, like admire your energy, confident ass bitch. But like, I have lived in New York City for over 3 years and I've been approached once in real life by a guy. Like that brings me to the whole dating app thing, but we don't even need to get into that. But like, yeah, guys and like say they love it. But I think that it's like a double standard sometimes with women to see like how confident they are in their bodies or the gym and then be put off by that in a sense, like respect it from afar. Like I appreciate your grind, but like, I don't want to fuck with you like that.
Well, what advice do you have for someone like me that I'm like, I feel like I'm working my ass off. And like, even if I do like shed a few pounds or whatever, like someone that's like, how do I just accept the fact that this is my body and I need to love it?
Yeah. Like, I think that like, I'm still in the process of doing it myself, but like, there's like small victories every day, you know, it's like putting on those pants and like loving the way you feel in them. And it's like recording yourself doing like 1 minute of planks. And the next week it's doing 1 minute and 30 seconds of planks. It's like those small victories are going to make you proud of yourself. Like people constantly ask me like, how do you build confidence in the gym? How do you build motivation? And it's like, I genuinely love it. I don't do it for how I look anymore because I realized I will never be satisfied with the way I look because society will like impose standards. Like I just have to enjoy the process.
Do you set a lot of goals going to the gym?
No, like very loose with my goals because like the thing is people are constantly like, how are you so motivated? And I'm like, it's like flossing my fucking teeth. I just do it every day. Yeah. It's not like I'm building towards something.
Right.
You know?
It's just part of your life now.
Yeah, it's part of my life. Like I answer emails on the treadmill, the stair climber, like it's routine.
Yeah, I feel like I look forward to like my hour, like off of work. Like I'm not in work mode. I'm just like enjoying my time on the cardio machine, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Phil, I'm interested to see like us talking about this like body stuff, like the girls deal with. Like, do guys ever talk about this shit?
Like our bodies?
Yeah, like I feel like a big thing with girls is like trying to get your body right and like always not loving yourself and like not loving the way you look. Do you guys do that?
Oh, for sure. Everybody always, I mean, guys looking themselves in the mirror with their shirts off and they're like, oh, I gotta get bigger, I gotta get my chest up. And it's the same thing, but I think you guys are just more like, because of like all of the Insta baddies and everything, we're not like jealous of Noah Beck and his stuff. I mean, a little bit, but we're not all, like, that's not what we want to be necessarily. And then, like, I guess the instant that is like the goal for girls, maybe.
Yeah, it's just respect. So annoying. I feel like it's the whole Instagram thing's tough. That's why I love like your TikToks, because I'm like, I know this is how you actually look.
Well, I actually made this TikTok today and it was like me in these leggings and I was like, love the picture. Then I went and posted this picture on Instagram and I was like, this is not the same body, bitch. And I screenshot it and I was like going back and forth versus my TikTok, which is a video of my body, and the Instagram, which is a picture of my body. And I'm like, so it fucks you up in the head, bro. And it's just like, at some point, like I love the outfits I wear more than I love the way my body looks a lot of times. So like, that's a victory in itself, you know? Like,
oh, that's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah, like people think it's a fucked up way to think about it, but like my body is literally a vessel and it takes me where I need to go and it wears what I want it to wear. Like it's a fucking avatar. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to put it. Okay, sorry I had to dive in that. I was just genuinely curious, and obviously the gym videos are so like big on your TikTok. Let's dive into TikTok. How the heck did you start? Like, were you a user first? When did you even start your account?
Yeah, so like I had TikTok like a minute ago, like a year or two ago, for like a few weeks, and I made one video and it was like just me like literally flexing my body and like clothes, and it blew up, like got like 20,000 views, and I was like, yo, this is fucking insane. Like my first video got 20,000 views and I was like, I peaked. And I deleted the app and I was like, I'm never touching this shit again. I peaked. Like,
you're like, I went viral, mom.
I'm on top.
No, literally, like, all the kids from my town were like, that was crazy, bro. That was fucking insane. Like, 20,000 views. And then, yeah, so I deleted it, and I never thought about it again. I was like, I got my claim to fame. I can leave this fucking app now. And life went by. I, like, had a few things happen in my life, and I decided to delete all social media for 6 months, and I went completely off the grid. Got super depressed. Really, really depressed from being off social media completely. Like, I thought, like, I was gonna live in fucking obscurity and, like, go live in the woods in the middle of fucking New York City and survive without social media. And then I, like, got really depressed, and I was like, you know, and I also lost my job, and I was like, I need to make money. And so I was like, I wonder if I can leverage TikTok to plug my Depop. And so I was like, let me start trying to make videos again, and then I can push my Depop. Yeah, and then I came back 2.5 months ago, and it's been crazy since.
Wait, what's Depop?
It's like an online, it's like eBay, but for Insta baddies.
Oh, okay.
It's like Poshmark, but for Insta baddies.
So you sell clothes.
Yeah, that was, well, I had sold clothes like a year or two ago, like when I first got to New York, and it was like very successful, and I was like paying my rent doing that. And then I stopped for a bit, like I was working at like a fintech startup, and then like I was like, let me start it again because I am broke.
Wait, so you started your TikTok again only 2 months ago?
Yeah, it'll be three months.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah,
crazy.
And you've blown up that much. How many followers are you at?
I think I'm at like 380 right now, 380,000.
Holy shit. Okay, why do you think you blew up so quickly? Like, what is the key to success here for you?
Oh my gosh, being genuine. Just being like, being honest, because like, I mean, like, I can be happy, but I can also be sad on there. Like, people, like, it's just not showing face. Like, it's just like literally just being real.
Yeah, I feel like you don't really give a fuck, and that's what like so many girls like try to do, but you actually do it, which is pretty sick.
You give zero fucks.
Yeah, no fucks. I mean, that was the problem. That's been the problem like my whole life, is that like I cannot lie, like I cannot be fake, and like in situations like Rush and at IU, that didn't work in my favor, and it's finally like panning out well, which is amazing.
Do you feel like they're like getting a little bit more technical? Were there little things that you did though to kind of make the TikToks do better? Like,
yeah. In the beginning, I would like release a shit ton. It's kind of like market testing, you know, because when I was working at this fintech startup, it's like we put feelers out there, see what did well, and we pull everything back and only put out the successful shit. And so that's what I was doing in the beginning, like for 50K to 100K, I was like, I'm gonna put out like 20 feelers, and then whatever does well, I'll keep it up. And then tomorrow I'll work on all the things that did successful and I'll move forward with those. But also like in the same vein as like market testing with videos, I also only record in the app. I don't record outside of the app. There's no editing. Like, people think that that's crazy, that like it takes away the genuineness if you go outside of the app and you slice and dice these fucking videos. Like, it's all real time. Like, I record it all on TikTok.
How many videos when you started were you posting a day? And how many now are you posting a day?
I don't know. It was definitely over 5 a day, but sometimes it'll be 30. Like, it's always varied.
How do you come up with so many different ideas?
There's no ideas. It's just my life. Like, it's just like a live stream.
You're just recording. All right.
Yeah, like people, like somebody today was like, I don't know how you're not exhausted. And I'm like, people didn't believe me. Like, I do like probably at least 8 tasks a day, like gym, tan, school, meetings, emails, thrifting, whatever the fuck you name it. Like, I do it all in one day. And people didn't believe me that, like, from the moment I wake up, like, I don't sit down. And literally all I do now is just press timer on TikTok, record it, go about my task. And yeah.
So do you record like your little bit though? Do you ever record and then you're like, oh, I could have said that a little bit better, or I could redo that to add more like information or whatever? Like, you don't redo it ever?
No, I don't ever redo it. Like, the thing is like, anytime I've ever tried to redo it, it's like really contrived. Like, it's like really like, 'cause I am not like an actress who can like recite lines. Like, I'm a living, breathing person, and like I just have things to say, you know?
See, I feel like I'm definitely a hybrid. Like, there's a lot of times where in app, I'm with you on the in app thing. I totally agree. I think it's way more candid, and I try to do as much as I can in app. The only time I don't do in app is if I'm like repurposing like an Instagram story or like something like that. But sometimes I'll record and it'll be good, and like I'm just like, whatever, I don't fucking care, I'm gonna upload it. But also sometimes I'll record and then I'm like, I forgot this thought, I'm gonna re-record it and add that like piece in and then do it. You never do that?
So like, something I found interesting, like one time we were talking, you said like, it's really interesting to figure out what people want to know about you, you know, like it's really interesting to have like understand. Yeah. So like, people aren't interested in how my body looks or if my face looks good or if my hair is done well. They want to know what like I want to say. I mean, that's what's been received well, you know, the things that I want to say. So if it doesn't come to precipice right away, it's not important. Like I would be like, oh, I should have included the brand of the shoes. Nobody ends up fucking caring. Like literally it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like they actually just want to hear like you, like what actually comes to the fucking dome, straight off the dome. Like they actually just care about that.
Okay, so we're gonna pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast, period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which like nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's like all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and like you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is like crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor and like the main reason why I use it is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that like basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to everyone of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place. The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 hard challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it. And it's just so good. Like a nice cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh. Mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys. The pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code
TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah.
Are most of your followers your age, would you say?
Oh, I literally haven't even checked my goddamn analytics once this whole process until like today when somebody asked for a screenshot of them. And I was like, you can do that? Like, that's crazy, bro. I apparently they're like 16 to 23, or I get DMs from like 39-year-olds being like, I'm 39, I live in Brooklyn, but I act like a 27-year-old and we should hang.
Oh my God. Okay, so you literally just, whatever comes to mind, you're like, okay, I'm going to record a TikTok, or is it just like, oh, this is part of my routine, let me record it kind of thing?
Yeah, no, like sometimes like I find like literally like if you look, like I'll force myself to be like, oh, let's do a Zoom video. And I'm like, it won't do well. It won't do well if I do that. Like anytime I've tried to remake a trend or force myself to do a video, it flops. And like, sometimes I'll just be like, I'm going to use this whisk. Like I have this whisk that this PR company just sent me, and I'm like, I'm going to make scrambled eggs with it. Like it's a fucking manic thought. And then it ends up getting like 200K. Like if I have spent more than 15 minutes, like coming up with the idea, it doesn't do well ever.
So you're just on the fly.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, okay. Here's the other thing is like, I could record on the fly, but the other thing is like, sometimes I'm at work and I like can't record on the fly. So I'll just like write my idea down and record it the next day when I'm home.
Yeah. So like I like used to like do that in the beginning, like write down lines I thought were really funny, like being like, oh, like everybody in New York wants to give you a job, but nobody wants to pay you what you're worth. Like, okay, that sounds like a fucking Hallmark card. Like that's not a TikTok video. Like it doesn't work. Like cool sentiment, bitch. It's not a fucking video. Like that's what happens. Like I find myself, because I'm so dry in delivery, it doesn't work, versus you, you're very charismatic and like you like have empathy through the camera, versus with me, it gets lost.
Like different deliveries work for different people is what you're saying.
For sure. Yeah. I also think that like sometimes though it can stunt you being a certain type of person versus another one. Like there's like being the type of person I am, like I can make any fucking video, nobody is surprised. But if I say wanted to make a serious video, like my mental health is struggling, or like I struggle at the gym, people will be like, shut the fuck up, Victoria, nobody gives a fuck. Like make me laugh, bitch. Like
I got it. Okay, I want to dive into how we kind of met, because I think it's a funny story. Yeah. So guys, I found Victoria on TikTok, and I think I commented on a few of your things, and then you followed me. So then I DM'd you, or no, I DM'd you on Instagram.
Yeah, you DM'd me on Instagram, and then I like stalked your page, and then I didn't see your comments, but I saw when you DM'd me, and I was like, oh, this bitch looks cool.
That's how I was. I was like, oh my God, this bitch looks cool. I want to follow her. But I knew you. I couldn't DM you yet on TikTok, so I DM'd you on Instagram, and then we started chatting. And literally she made a TikTok. She was like, what the fork are like podcasts? Like, what's the deal with it? I'm so confused. People are asking me like, do I need to be paid? And she just sent me her own TikTok and was like, help.
Yeah, that's very much, yeah.
On DM, yeah. No, I was like, I think I was like, oh my God, I wish I could audio message you. Let me do it on Instagram. And I start sending her a bunch. She's like, dude, just text me or call me. And I was like, perfect, like my type of gal. So I FaceTimed her while I was on the Peloton for like an hour, and we like hit it off.
For sure. Yeah. Like that's how I feel it is with me. Like I either like feel the connection or I don't with people.
You also mentioned you have on my Peloton ride, you also mentioned you have a guy friend that you FaceTime sometimes about TikTok stuff.
I can't keep my men straight. No, Jonathan.
You got too many of them.
No, dead ass. Like I got hoes. Like, they be doing my work for me, and I love them.
Let me check my roster, baby. So how did that connection start? Like, why are you so, I feel like a lot of people, especially in LA, are like weird with like sharing ideas or like helping each other out or like content. Yeah, not really like my friend group, but you know, people are slimy like that. Like, why are you so willing to like make connections and like help each other? Cause I feel like our conversation was so like helpful for both of us. Like we were like throwing out business ideas and like brand deals, things and stuff like that.
But why, like, are you so, I'm not, yeah, to? I'm not though. Like I'm not, like that was special with you. Like I do that with like a finite number, oh, of really? People. Like not trying to throw tea or shade. I know who I'll like and I know who I don't. And I'm a very good judge of character, and I've always been. Like with Jonathan, like we hit it off right away. We started chatting. Like I will be like, I'll give you everything or nothing. Like that's just the way I am.
Got it. So you're very just straightforward.
Yeah, for sure. Like I just can't like lie like that. Like I like people or I don't.
Same, honestly. I can definitely turn it on, but like I'm way more, it just comes off way more genuine, obviously, when I like am actually intrigued by someone or I like want to be genuine friends. Yeah. Wait, I have a question though. Why were you like oh, this, like, I'm down to give this girl a chance with me, like being friends?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I literally didn't even watch your TikTok. I didn't watch your TikTok. I just saw your Instagram. And then I think your first message was very kind. Like, it was very, like, personable. Like, a lot of people read well via, a lot of people do not read well via message. Oh, like, really? a lot of people lack, a lot of people lack empathy. Like, they lack, like, conviction when they write things. And, like, when you can write with conviction, I find that very compelling and I'm more inclined to respond.
Yeah, I feel like even when I'm texting you, I feel like we have very similar ways of texting. Like, I hate when people send paragraphs.
Oh, yeah, 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 facts.
I'm like, I can't read that. I'm Gen Z. Like,
what's
a paragraph?
Give me the, like, fucking elevator pitch.
Yes, I need the, like, lines. Anyway, what has it been like gaining all these followers, especially, like, kind of celebrity or well-known influencer followers?
Well, I think it's, like, crazy because, like, I've been getting stopped in the street a lot. Like, every time I go to do something, I get stopped. And, like, somebody physically stopped me yesterday at the grocery store, like, grabbed me. And I was like, and then, like, yesterday I'm working out and, like, all these people keep looking at me. I'm like, why are they looking at me? Why are they looking at me? I check my DM request and it's, like, pictures of me. People took pictures of me at the gym. Like,
that's then crazy.
Sent them to me. Didn't say anything to me. And it's like, if you come up to me and you're nice, like, let's talk. Let's chat. We can be friends. But it's, like, hard. And, like, I've gotten messages from people in my building being like, I see you. How dare you go on our roof and post TikToks? How dare you talk about our landlord? Like threatening shit from people in my building. Yeah. Like, people are fucking crazy.
Do they go to school with you?
They're, like, the same age. They don't go to my school.
Yeah, they're definitely probably just jealous.
I don't know.
100%. Like, speaking of, what has it been like? Have you had any encounters with, like, jealousy yet? Just growing so fast? Because I know everyone deals with that growing fast. I definitely did.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly been positive, honestly. Like, it's mostly been really positive. Like, but motherfuckers be coming out of the woodwork like no other. Like, what's good, bitch? We were friends in 2016, 2009. I remember, like, we went to elementary school and had French together. Like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Please hop off my dick for a second. Like, I'm trying to breathe. Like,
you read all the comments on your TikTok?
Every single comment I read.
Really? Do you get sad about some of them?
I was just gonna say, like, it would be worse.
Really?
They're so weak. Like, if somebody was like, you fucking you look like Adam Sandler and, like, goddamn Noah Hill or whatever the fuck his name is, Jonah Hill had a baby, I would cry probably. But they're not even that creative. They're usually like, you're fat, and I'm like, okay, and bitch, like, yeah. Go off, like. they're not good hate comments. Like, I would, like, if somebody really, like, drafted me up, like, a well-worded, like, hate comment, I would probably, like, flinch. But, like, they're not usually.
Has anyone followed you that you've geeked out about?
And Emma Chamberlain followed me. I definitely geeked out on that because I was like, what does this mean? Like, what does this mean?
That's, like, so cool because she's, like, so cool.
Well, I feel you've met her, right, before? Like,
I have, and I've met her twice, and they were both in work settings, and she is, like, I don't know her well at all. Like, literally, like, yeah. She probably wouldn't even know my name. She might recognize my face, but she's so, so kind. Like, every time we meet, it's like, she doesn't even act like she's, like, a celebrity at all. She's just like, oh my God, hi. Like, how are you? Like, so personable and, like, chill. And, like, she never gives you the vibe, like, I'm superior to you, which I love, because a lot of people, like, with an Instagram following, like, 30K, like, definitely give that vibe.
Yeah, no, like, that's dope. Like, I honestly think, like, since this all happened, like, the numbers don't mean anything anymore. Like, at this point, like, I can't even fathom it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And, like, I think that I've always respected her from afar because she seems like that kind of person. So hearing that from you, like, affirms more that she's, like, a dope person. And then when she followed me, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, shit just got real.
Do you feel pressure to keep making TikToks, or are you just like, if you don't feel it one day, you just not post it?
So, like, when I was, before I had TikTok and shit, like, I was, like, geeked the fuck out because I was, like, dude, I'm graduating. I got, like, 20 grand in debt. Like, I have no job on the table. Like, and I would have these mini fucking heart, like, palpitations and heart, like, anxiety attacks, like, randomly, like, once a week, once a day about, like, this impending future that was coming. And now I get that about TikTok. Now, like, there'll be, like, 30 seconds in a day where it's like, bitch, this is all gonna crash and burn and you're not gonna have a job and you're gonna be irrelevant and you're gonna be a washed up creator. And, like, I get that sometimes, but it's the exact same anxiety I got about getting a goddamn 9-to-5.
No, you definitely aren't going anywhere soon. You're just getting started.
We shall see.
Yeah. Only 2 months in, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You're on X Games mode right now.
She goes stupid and crazy.
She goes stupid and crazy.
Phil,
dummy.
Phil, tell,
Dad.
Tell Victoria about one of your friends that knew who she was and freaked out that we were going to collab.
Yeah, so one of my best friends, his girlfriend, apparently follows you on TikTok and is a big fan. And I guess she saw, did you do a TikTok saying you were going on Taylor's podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, she told Nate, she was like, oh my God, I can't believe that she's going to talk to her. Like, I love her. She's like so funny. And she was so hype.
Does she know that you were going to talk to me, Victoria, too?
I think Sepal did and yeah. Lexi did.
I actually had a bunch of people DM me. They're like, holy shit, you're going to collab with Victoria. This is so epic. Like, I can't wait to hear the pod, blah, blah, blah. Which is cool because one, I think it's cool that they wanted to hear like us together. Like that was exciting. But also it just shows how like dedicated and excited your audience is to hear like a long interview with you. You know what I mean?
The Victorians.
The Victorians.
Which, yo, they're crazy.
In LA, when you come, there's this, one of my favorite bars in LA is called The Victorian. And it's the sickest place. And we have to go.
I'm ready.
Get a photo outside by the sign.
Listen to this, bitch. My ass turned 21. I still haven't been to a goddamn bar. What the fuck is happening?
That's terrible.
Right? Like,
I think you and Phil have like similar. When's your birthday, Victoria, again?
April 10th.
So you're an Aries.
Are you Taurus?
I don't know.
You should know
this. I'm not into the whole manifesting and the
symbols. You into the stock market?
Oh yeah, there we go.
Yeah. You're either into one or the other, bitch.
You're either into manifesting or the stock market.
Yeah. Like Elon or fucking E, bitch. Like, yeah. I can't help you.
GameStop to the moon, baby.
Yeah.
Wait, Victoria, are you into like horoscope shit?
Oh, I'm into it all. Like, I'm into, no. I wrote my senior thesis on the history of astrology, but I am deep in the fucking Reddit discords about the fucking, like, all this investment shit. Like, I'm in both fucking pots. Like, I'm here and I'm there. Like,
I got it. I love it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wait, so what do you want to do, like, with all of this social media stuff? Like, in your head, are you like, dang, like, this could be my career? Like, I want to take it seriously and, like, make money? Like, is that something you want to do?
Oh, my gosh. When I was younger, I, like, didn't even see myself past 16. I was like, in my mind, I had imagined that I was going to be taken out by some force. Like, some external force was going to take me out of this goddamn earth. Like, yeah. I was convinced. So that's why, like growing up, I had so many issues picking out a college, picking out a major, picking out a job, because I just never could see myself past today. Like, it was so hard for me. And so people constantly are like, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing today, bitch. Like, it's hard, but I don't know what I want to do with it at all. Like, I was talking to a manager today for the first time and she's like, what are your 2-year goals? And I was like, what the fuck? I don't know. And she's like, well, what are your 2-week goals? And I was like, to make a lot of fucking videos. Like, and she's like, oh, bad.
Go viral.
Cool. Yeah. Like, I want to go stupid and crazy. Like, that's all I want.
Wait, were you talking to the one that you were telling me about?
Yeah.
Did it go well?
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it was like, so I had spoken to another creator I know who was signed to the same manager or same like umbrella company, different mm-hmm. manager. And he had a totally different experience. And I was like, oh, mine was like totally different. It's really hard figuring out what the point of reference is as a creator, because it's a very ambiguous field pay-wise and like all that stuff which we were talking about.
It's funny when you're finding a manager, like it's almost like you're finding like a career mom in a way.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Yeah. But like, scary. If you think about it though, like I talk to my managers more than I talk to my friends a day.
Oh, so really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So you have to like, not that we're like FaceTiming, but like I text them more than I literally text some of my friends. So just like keep that into consideration when you're finding one. Like, do I even want to text this person? Do I want to take phone calls with this person a lot? Because you're in communication with them all the time.
Yeah, no, you were really helpful with those kind of things. I feel like it's important to like have friends. Like, that's why I love like that we've gotten like closer or talking more and more, because like if you don't have other people who have your back or other people who will give you honest advice, you're not going to get anywhere.
Which, by the way, I spoke with my manager today and she said she would be open to talking to you, which
honestly
very, it's, that's a really good thing, because she's very picky about who she brings on. Shout out my management. I personally love them. Obviously I'm biased, but I think she was like, oh yeah, I already follow her and I love her videos. She said that. And I was like, oh, Twiggy, perfect.
Dead. Yeah, no, I'm down to talk to her. I think that it's important to shop around. It's like when you're getting a doctor, definitely, like you never should accept the first offer.
Definitely. And I was going to tell you too, like always take the phone call.
Always. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, no, that was, it's an interesting experience, like pay wise, like this field, because like, if I would say, take this seriously, I'm gonna need some money soon. Cause I got rent, like I got loans, like let's get it popping.
Do you have any questions? Like kind of what we were like talking about on our FaceTime, like, do you have any like business questions for like, as a new creator, like what are you confused about? Like, what are you shocked by? What are you scared of? Like things like that.
Yeah. No, like I definitely have questions for you. Like when do you walk away? Because like there will be email chains and they'll be like, oh, show me this. I'll give you this. And it's like, dude, you're not worth my fucking time at this point. Like, I think as a creator, like you can spread yourself too thin. When do you decide what's worth your time?
When do you like walk away from like an email chain?
Well, not even like, when do you walk away from a video that's failing? When do you walk away from like an outfit that like makes you feel like shit? Like, when do you decide to like step out of this creator role and become a human, you know, like if that makes sense.
Oh gosh, that is so tough.
Like I feel like you do it well though. Like you don't live and breathe this shit. Like you have a life, you have your brother involved in this. Like it would be so hard to get family involved for me.
I feel like I don't and I do, but I feel like my balance is almost healthy because my brand is so authentically me. That like the shit I show in my videos is stuff I'm actually excited to like tell someone. So it just so happens to, instead of me like FaceTiming a friend to show them like my new couch, or, you know, FaceTiming, you know, when you come home from shopping and then you want to just like show your dad the clothes you got, or your mom, mm-hmm, whoever it is, instead of sometimes doing that to someone in real life, I just do that to my camera. So yeah. I feel like just because my like vlogs and shit are, and TikToks are like how I am on a daily basis, it like I'm doing it all the time, but it's fun for me because that is what I'm excited about. That is my life. And when I catch myself filming something and I'm like, this, I'm not even excited to tell them this. Like I rarely catch myself doing this because I never really pick up the camera when I'm not excited to. Yeah. But if I'm filming and I'm like, I'm not even excited, or it feels forced, I'm like, oh my God, I stop, or I like edit it out, because I'm like, if I'm not having a good time, like that'll be able to be shown across on camera, and like people will be like, okay, no, like people click out. So
something else I think that's like, I really wanted to ask you is, so you've obviously worked for like a notable YouTuber and you've seen like her career span long-term, versus on TikTok, what happens is people are like stars. They shine really bright and they die, you know, like they like fucking rocket out of orbit, nobody gives a fuck. So it's like, do you ever, like, I know for me, like I worry like this could be a 1 week thing, a 2 month thing, a 3 month thing, 2 years. Having seen somebody who's taken it and made a lifestyle out of it, do you ever worry that this is just going to end for you one day and it's going to be out of your control?
I mean, of course, yeah. One, I would say it's really like, even though it's probably cause you a lot of stress and anxiety to have those thoughts, I think it's also smart and realistic to have those thoughts, because it like helps you, like Alicia says, the number one thing that's kept her relevant. I mean, the girl has literally been on YouTube for, I think like 13, 14 years and been like relevant. You know what I mean? Like not even just like, oh, like people still know who she is. She's still that bitch on YouTube. You know what I mean? So I think the biggest thing that she's done, and she'll say this to you, is that she has been so willing to evolve. So for instance, when TikTok came out, she was like, instead of being like, oh, another platform I have to get on, blah, 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 which every creator does. They love to blame platforms. She just jumped right on and was like, all right, let's full send on TikTok. You know what I mean? Like she just is willing to adapt. And I think when she hired me, she was like, oh, I love that you're like such a Gen Z, because like you're teaching me all the little like lingo. Like I'm like doing this weird shit with my hands. I'm like that. I can't even explain, or like the Debbie Ryan, like hair thing. And I'm like, yes, literally. I'm like literally dice rolling all the time in her house. And she's like, what's that? She's like, I feel like as much as I'm learning from her, like she's learning a lot from me in like that regard. So yeah. I think just being willing to evolve and like jump on the next thing instead of being like a hater of it and being like, oh, I'm already perfect. I already have YouTube figured out. That's what served her so well. Mm-hmm. And she's so forking good at diversifying her brand. So like she has her YouTube, her like main channel is a brand. And then her like vlog channel is a brand. Then her TikToks are a brand. And like now her podcast with her best friend, that's like a beast, is a brand. Like Pretty Basic, they just came out with a palette with Tarte. She's doing a bunch of other projects that I can't talk about right now, but she's so good at like diversifying. I know that's such an annoying ass influencer thing to say. She's so willing to like diversify, and oh, she's just always open to hearing what other opportunities there are, which I think a lot of people think once they gain a following, they're like, oh no, I have this figured out, like kind of thing.
The thing is I think it's like I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think it's crucial. I actually wrote this list being yesterday saying things you need to know if you want to be a successful Instagram influencer. And it goes willing to apologize, willing to change, willing to be wrong, willing to share your experiences, all these fucking whack ass things I wrote down at 8 a.m. But what I think is very interesting is that like I just had a thought where it's like if you think about like a normal marketing job, like that's your only source of income. Like really rich people talk about what you need 7 streams of income to really be diversifying and constantly be growing your wealth and like all that kind of shit, or 3, whatever, how many streams of income. If the fucking person who is a teacher or works at a marketing agency loses their job, they lose everything they have for a period of time. If creating stops, I'll just get another fucking job. That's how I feel. Like, I think that puts it in perspective, you know?
Yeah. And like, for you, you're a little different, but for someone that is smaller, just starting out, and they like want their full-time job to be an influencer, I was just saying this on a Clubhouse today, like you need to like there's no shame in having a real person job. Like I have a real person job, even though it's like super creative and super fun and I love it, like doesn't mean that I don't have a real person job. Like I go to work every day from 10 to 6. Like I'm busy at work. When I'm at work, like when my manager is bugging me at work, I'm like, bro, I'm at work, I can't do this right now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm off the grid in regards to like play time. But when I get home, I have my 5 to 9, which is when I like create my own content, or on the weekends, like that's the only day I can film. And I think if you're a creator who like has hardly any followers and you're not making much money, like have your real person job until like you literally can't. You're being so flooded with like creator and influencer stuff that you can't have your real person job, and that's when you know you'll be ready to do it by yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think,
but you're different because you're big.
Shut the fuck up. I think it's different. I think is really interesting is y'all like this little family dynamic here. Like I think that like we're taking like fucking Kelly School of Business and fucking like Instabatty to a T, like over here. And I think that dynamic's really interesting. I want to know, Philip, like what like your thoughts have been coming into this as someone who like hasn't necessarily been entrenched in the socials like that.
Great question.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I've definitely gotten used to it. When she started kind of blowing up, it was a little bit weird, like being recorded all the time. And I tried to make some videos. I make a few TikToks. They're not very good, but I try it. But it's definitely cool. Coming on the podcast, she asked me to come on. We did podcasts in the beginning when it was just her, and it was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And she doesn't really have like a normal guy perspective, like normal straight guy. So I feel like just it's a hole that was missing from her thing, I guess you could say. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, a lot of my followers, like I talk about like trolling men a lot, like on my YouTube channel, or I'll just talk about like, yeah, I went on this date, like he was so weird. Like I'll just like reference dating, which I feel like surprisingly, a lot of influencer people don't. They keep it very private. But I more so talk about like the process. I'm not like saying like John Doe did this. I'm just like talk about my experience, or like I'll just reference like guys. Like today I made a TikTok and I was like, why do guys use flags as decor? Like, Like, I was just talking about that. But, like, all girls are, like, they think that's funny. I'm, like, why are there flags everywhere? I don't get it. And it, like, has become a part of my brand. And, like, of course, the polls, like, me asking questions about, like, dating stuff. So girls, and my demographics primarily girls, but they all want to know, like, what guys actually think. That's why Phil was such a good addition, because he's, like, the normal guy, frat guy, like, athlete in college, finance, you know what I mean? That, like, girls want to know the actual tea from. I don't know. Like, Phil, what do you think about, like, I know there was a point where I was, like, growing a little bit. Like, when did you go from, like, oh yeah, my sister, I don't really know what she's doing as a job, to, like, yeah, my sister is an influencer? Like, what, like, where you were, like, confident in telling people about it?
I want to know, like, this really fucking bad.
Versus, like, I'm kind of confused, honestly, what my sister does. Like, was there
because
in my head, like, it's so clear to me when I became confident in it, but, like, yeah. I used to hate explaining what I did to people because they would be like, what?
Yeah.
Probably the first moment I realized, like, holy crap, like, this is real, is probably when she got started with her brand deals and she would get products just from people. Like, I remember the Stella, like, all the Stella you had in your fridge. And I was like, what the heck? Why are they sending you this? And then I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. Like, I get made fun of all the time, my friend. Oh, you're just living off your sister. She's just on Instagram posting pictures.
I bet. No,
they respect the hustle, but, like, obviously I get made fun of a little bit for it, but they don't understand, like, all the cool things that come with it. So I think it's always, like, a little bit of a jealousy thing, but because we actually did a poll in our GroupMe. We're big poll guys, and it was, would you drop everything to be a sway boy right now? And it was like 28 said yes and 4 said no. So it was pretty funny.
Fuck yeah, bro. So I'd be a sway boy in a heartbeat.
Yeah, majority of them said yeah.
Yeah.
Did you make the
poll?
And then I was like, why are you
making fun of me when I try to make a TikTok and I try to do stuff? And they're like, that is just
that's such a real thing. So many people fear posting for those exact reasons, that their friends are gonna make fun of them. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, I used to kind of be scared to post stuff, but Taylor just always begs me, just like, who cares mentality. Like, if I like to do it, why not do it? Like,
I'm gonna be up in your comments like, Philip, drop it right now. It's been an hour. Like, I need a second video. Come on, King. Like, I need content.
Give me
some more followers.
Victoria, what advice? Because I literally feel like there's such a gap. Okay, first of all, Jonathan, the lawyer guy on TikTok, he did such a great job, because there's such a gap in, like, the straight guy post undergrad, like, life. Like, there's hardly any influencers. There's hardly any straight guys really on, like, that aren't, like, Nelk boys. You know what I mean? Like, there's either Psycho Nelk boys, Vlog Squad, and then there's, like, this huge gap.
Incels. No.
So I'm like, what advice would you give Phil? Like, what kind of videos realistically do you think he should make? Like, how often should he be posting if he kind of wants us to do a thing, but he's nervous because, like, obviously the frat's, like, gonna be like, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah. I mean, like, I have, like, so, like, oh, this is so crazy. Like, when I had, like, 20 or 30K, like, this frat guy who had, like 60K, like, reached out to me. He's like, dude, you're going places. Like, your TikTok is insane. This is, like, the first month on it. And I was like, shut the fuck up. You're just trying to fuck me, bro. Like, hop out of my DMs. And he was like, I'm not joking, bro. He was like, your TikTok is absurd. Like, the amount you post, like, I really, like, he goes to NC State, like, this really small TikTok kid. Like, he stopped posting TikToks altogether because his frat brothers gave him so much shit. Like, because he got shat on so much. But then he just got written up fucking Rolling Stones for his fucking TikTok on MF Doom. And his ass stopped making fucking TikToks because he used to get flamed so hard, and, like, he didn't get bitches because of it. And I'm like, dude, you gotta, there's this fucking barrier. You're so close, like, you're mining and you're about to get through and you're about to break through, and people give up all the time.
Yeah.
And
it's like, yes, you have that's to keep so true.
Sending it. Yeah, like, people, like, there's that visual where it's like the guy's mining to the diamond and the diamond's right there, and he's like, fuck it. I've been going so far. Like, if it's not working, keep doing it. And if you stop, like, don't. Like, that's all I have to say. And I think that there's no right content for you. It's just yourself, you know?
That's so true.
And it's funny because every time I post a TikTok and my friends are in it, they'll, every, like, 5 minutes, they'll be like, hey, how many views you like? Did this girl like it? Blah, blah, blah. They always want to know. They're always so into it. I'm like, why are you just shitting on me then for trying to make this?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, this kind of talks about the jealousy thing, though. Like, I've, like, recently had a lot of problems with my friends. Like when I had 50 or 75K, everybody told me to stop. Every single person told me to stop at, like, the 1 or 2 month mark. They were like, you are the most sensitive person I know. You're going to literally, like, get, like, suicidal depressed over this because people were hating on me so much. I was like, whoa, like, maybe I should quit. And, like, I was worried about this getting back to my, like, siblings' work and it affecting them and my family. And all my friends told me to stop. Every single one of my friends told me to stop. And I was like, wait, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They all wish you really don't know what the fuck you're talking. They don't know anything.
They all wish that they were in your position though.
No. But they were saying like, stop taking it so hard. Like, stop getting so butthurt. Like, it's okay to get shit on and be upset. It's okay to be sad that somebody said a hate comment. To tell people to quit and not be sad is bullshit. Like, push through it. Like, you're taking it in stride and it'll make you stronger. Every single hate comment, like, makes me more of a better bitch. Like, I hate to say it, you know?
If they give you hate, that means you're doing something right.
Bro, I know they give me hate and then low-key they'd all still fuck me. So, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't care. Like, I literally don't care. Like, honestly.
So true. So you don't think there isn't one video you'd be like, Phil, I would love if you showed this. You just think like forking send it.
I mean, I think it's so easy to pigeonhole yourself. Like, sure, go for frat content. Sure, go for IU content, Kelly content, finance boy content. Like, why not just do it all? Why not just do every single one of those? You know?
Yeah. I've kind of just been doing random stuff just for fun, but some of them have done well.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, what are people interested about you? You know, like you were saying, like, what are the first things people ask you about? Do videos on that.
Yeah. So I was telling Victoria, she was like, what's the point of a podcast if I'm not getting paid? Like, she was so confused. And I was like, welcome to PR. Phil, you told mom this quote from your, I think, advertising class about it's marketing versus PR. Do you want to say it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember what.
Okay. You pay for advertising and marketing. You pray for PR. And what that means.
I said that.
Maybe mom lied. Maybe it's mom.
Off, King. Yeah. Go off.
But basically, the point of that is that with PR, the whole point of it is that you can't pay for it. You just hope that someone writes a good story about you, or you hope that you want people to be talking about you, but you can't really pay anyone except a publicist, which helps PR happen to get, make you relevant or make you noteworthy or like make people want to talk about you. So I was explaining to Victoria why podcasting is good, because I was like, for you, it would be awesome because like people would get to know a deeper like look into you because they get an hour interview instead of this more so like 15 second video where you're just like being crazy and whatever. And also like for me, I love going on smaller people's podcasts because one, you never know if they're going to blow up one day. And then two, it's good interview practice because you never know, one day maybe you'll be on Fallon or Ellen and you need to have interview practice. And three, the thing I find the most interesting and useful is I'm so interested what the interviewer or host will ask me. Because that's clearly what they find interesting about me. And that's something I need to know when they're asking me these questions, like, oh, if they're asking me so much about this, this, and this, maybe I should integrate that stuff into my content because clearly that's what people find interesting about me. So I was explaining that to Victoria and she was like, oh my God, tea. Okay.
Yeah. So when I would consult my friends about what to post on YouTube or on TikTok, they'd be like, Victoria, you have the most insane dating life. Like, call her daddy, like all the way. Like, you need the barstool contract. Like, you need to spill the tea on all these men because bitch, I'm a slut. Get me lit. Like, you know, like, but, no. And so I was convinced. I was like, sex sells. It's time to monetize the bodies. Like, let's bring them out of the fucking closet. And I realized like, nobody cares. Like, dead ass people in my comments think of a fucking virgin, like an incel, like up out here, like, and I was convinced that like my sex life was the most interesting thing about me before TikTok. And I realized literally reading your outline and you not asking me about my dating life was quaking to me. I was like, why is she not asking me? Why is she like, because I think that's one of the most interesting things about me, yet nobody on the internet perceives that or cares about that. So it's like,
but when you make share content, that
like bits and pieces, I guess, but I purposely don't because I think that it's like mentally, I think it's interesting, but it's because I'm so caught up in it, like in my personal life.
Are you dating somebody right now?
Yeah, tell us about
that. Yes, I am dating somebody right now. Yeah, we're seeing each other, but like when you think of the content you want to make, like, take yourself outside of yourself, because you're usually wrong, you know?
So true. I was like, today Victoria and I were texting, she was talking about how she's gonna come to LA soon, and she was like, yeah, I'm going with Mans. And I was like, you have a boyfriend? She was like, no, a Mans. Why do you call him?
No,
like we haven't like DTR'd or anything, but like, I mean, like, labels are hard. Like, shit, like,
wait, what's your type? I'm so curious.
Tall. So like, I'm tall, so like 6 foot or more, brown hair, brown eyes, tan, and that's it really. Oh, like, I fuck with Ivy boys. I fuck with Ivy boys. They gotta be smart. Like, I agree. For a smart boy. Yeah, and successful. They gotta be successful.
So how did you meet this guy?
Hinge.
Oh, are you a Hinge user?
You're all over
big
the
Hinge girl.
All over the dating apps.
I'm monogamous for Hinge, bitch. I am a ride or die. You will not catch my ass on Bumble.
I'm monogamous for Hinge. Like,
I am a ride or die for that H, that bitch. Like, I love her.
Wait, you need to get a Hinge sponsorship.
No, because that's the thing. Like, that's not interesting to most 13 to 23 year olds. Like, they'll text their friend if they want dating advice. Like, I think that there's like such a short shelf life for dating advice.
I don't think people want dating advice from you. I think they want to hear the crazy shit that happens in your dating life. So like,
I know, but then like, I worry, like you said that you roast guys and that you're missing that like guy perspective that your brother provides. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you worry that stunts your dating life?
Yeah, but I don't like, it's not call her daddy status. I'm just like, I'm making fun of the flags in the room, or like it's just like surface level shit.
My shit would probably be call her daddy status, and I don't do that at all. Like I definitely keep the
really juicy stuff to my friends, but if there's something that's like crazy that like I can kind of be vague or lighthearted with online and it provides a good story, it's like, why not? So my friends always ask me what to say to guys. So since I noticed they're asking me so much in real life, I'm like, oh my God, I should start giving advice on my like YouTube channel. So that's why like a lot of my girlfriends come to me for dating advice. I don't know why, I don't have a forking boyfriend, but I do like, I do mess around with guys a lot. Like I'll just like, I always have someone I'm texting or like randomly FaceTiming or whatever. I always have someone that I'm like, you know, whatever with. I noticed all of my girlfriends were like asking me advice or about dating and just in general and like how to talk to guys and whatever. And I think luckily because I grew up with Phil and like all of his friends around me 24/7, like I've accumulated a lot.
You heard
of,
all
like,
of our stories.
Oh my God. They're so ridiculously open with me that like, I'm like, girl, I know the tea. So I think that's why all my friends come to me and I'm here to give it like, just give you a little extra insight on my YouTube videos. Like, hey, by the way, they don't like it when you do this. Like, I'm not like out here, call her daddy, like ruining people's lives on my channels. But
that's like Jonathan though.
What?
You're like filling that, it's like Jonathan, like you're filling that demographic that people are interested in, those answers that we're not getting on TikTok currently.
Yes, I'll make funny remarks, but I don't say anything I wouldn't say to a guy in real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no, I've never had a guy be like, no, I don't want to date you because you'll make a video about me. I've never had that happen.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, they're the wrong person anyways. But no, I think it's like a fine line to ride because like you said, a lot of influencers are so private about it because it's like, what is yours? Like, what do you have like stake over that the internet doesn't own? Like, there's very few things right now.
I think what would be interesting for you is like, you know how you'll do your get ready or you'll be like, guys, I have a date tonight. We're going to make pizza, whatever. I think it'd be if something had happened funny previously here's an example. You could be like, yeah, tonight I'm having a date over, like we're running it back with the pizza, whatever. And be like, LOL, the last guy I had over, he literally wouldn't stop talking about his frog. Like whatever weird shit happened. You could just make a funny remark. You don't have to expose like the person or the whole date.
Yeah. I'm constantly trying to think about like new content. Like I think that like I don't currently like go into makeup and I'm like a fucking thought for makeup. And I'm like, I don't do that. I don't talk about dating. I don't talk about like, I don't know. Like there's so many topics to broach that I feel like I don't have time to talk about yet. And like, that's why I love this podcast because I feel like we were covering all the bases.
Even you know? I would love if you were like, yo, I'm out here slaying the dating game. Like you guys have no idea. Like just even a video of you like gassing yourself up because like girls are so afraid to go on dates. They're so afraid to make that shit happen. So like even just showing like yourself, you hyping yourself up, like being like, oh my God, I'm so nervous, but we're gonna do it, baby. Like, this is for me. Like, I think a TikTok or something like that would be awesome for someone to see.
Yeah. I think dating needs to be more normalized because I feel like because of Corona, like we've gotten so used to like just hookup culture where we just go over and we like fuck literally. And it's like, no, can we go on a date first? And like, I know that we're not allowed out anywhere and like close to each other, but I'd like to get to know you first, sir.
Yeah, that's totally. Definitely all of college too.
Yeah. College is a horrible hookup culture.
Yeah.
Speaking of dating.
Or it's like hookup culture into dating. Like you hook up for like 3 months and it's like, oh, we're dating, we're moving in together after college. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's so weird.
I don't know.
Speaking of dating, Phil has a date coming up that he's pretty nervous about.
Ooh, Phil T.
He definitely doesn't want to talk about it right now. He's nervous.
Yeah.
I want to know.
We'll hope it goes well. I don't want to jinx it.
Okay, yeah, no, I respect that actually because I talk about things too much and then they crash and burn.
Yeah, it'll be fun though. She's a cool girl.
Fingers crossed. I mean, you only got a semester left to bag one. Work a little harder.
I'm a junior, so I have a year and a half.
Oh, you got a year and a semester, bitch.
I know.
Well, Phil wants to be like,
it is cuffing season.
He wants to move to LA and like be like a sports agent. So I'm like, do you want to like cuff someone before you leave, or do you want to like just do your own thing when you move?
Yeah, no, oh my gosh, you want to move to LA? I feel like that's brazy as a guy to say that. Like, I feel like guys get shat on when they're like, I want to move to LA. Like, from IU, it's usually like, oh, I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to Austin.
Chicago's like, so basic.
Yeah, everybody goes to Chicago here.
Fuck that.
No. Wait, speaking of, do you ever talk to your sibling about, like, dating stuff? Like, do you ever ask them for advice, or like do they ever ask you for advice?
I'm the cute one. I'm the one who likes to go out and be social, and that's all you need to know, because they're not like that at all, you know. Like, I feel like when, I don't know if you guys have more, do you have other siblings?
No, but I'm definitely the cute one.
Oh, that's interesting, because I find that they're, when it's just two, it's usually opposites, you know? So like, I'm the one who dates a lot, who's social, who's on the internet. He's the one who like is serious, like went, like took school seriously, like was with the same person for the longest time, you know, versus like, I feel like y'all are relatively similar, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think we were a lot more different, like when we were growing up, but we also have always had this, like a few things that we've always had in common, which is probably like our morals and values and whatever things that like have always stuck to be the same. But Phil was definitely like the smarty pants finance dude, and I was like the creative crazy kid.
Yeah, same.
Like, he was definitely favored by my parents because he was like perfect kid growing up, like literally like really good at basketball, really good at like tests and stuff. Like, I'm not as good at that stuff. I'm more good at on the fly.
I wasn't like the perfect kid at all. Like, I caused my parents so many issues. Like, like I was the problem motherfucker. Like, I made issues and I made myself everybody's problem.
Okay, let's do a few poll questions and then we can wrap it up. Victoria, TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok.
What are you doing, Phil?
TikTok.
I'm going TikTok too.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Pizza or bagel? Right, I had to shout out the New Yorker in you.
Bacon, egg, and cheese, baby.
What are you doing, Phil?
Bagel.
I'm going pizza. I love pizza after a night out in New York. I can't wait till we can hang out in New York. That'll be so fun.
Yeah, come through and chill or whatever. I think it's fun.
It'll be like camp.
TK loves her drunk pizza. She's always getting that.
Love it. What's a better feeling? A viral TikTok or the post-run high?
Post-run high.
Probably a viral TikTok because I've only had like one.
I feel like right off the bat, I would say the viral TikTok, but post-run high is like more of a long-term feeling that feels better.
Yeah. It's like more sustainable. That's because
all your guys' TikToks go viral every time you post one.
No, mine don't.
Kind of.
Well, the thing is like, I don't post to go viral. So if it goes viral, it goes viral, but I run to get
So true. So true. I just post and I'm like, all right, we'll see.
Fuck it. Mask off. Like, I don't know.
I definitely, ever since I talked to you too, like, I'll just post whatever. I'm like, I don't even think about it. I'm just like, post something. What do you value more, money or time?
Time.
Same.
Time.
And then last thing I wanted to ask you, Victoria, before we wrap this up is, what advice, like, I feel like now that we've chatted, I need to know, like, what advice would you give me with TikTok? I need to know.
I love just hearing you talk, honestly. Like, really? I love, like, the off the cusp. Like, you are such a great conversationalist. And I think also the fact that, like, a lot of people, like, have a lot to learn when it comes to, like, speaking to others, whether it's an interview setting, a first date, or a fucking TikTok. A lot of people are scared to speak their mind, and you do it in a very approachable way.
So you think, like, more, like, when a random thought comes, just pick up the phone and film it kind of thing?
Yeah, fucking dialogue. Like, or, like, you just talking about how, like, a formative event between you and Phil when you were younger happened, and, like, look at where we are now, or, like, look where our relationship is now. Like, that's very interesting to me.
Okay, that's so interesting. Okay, that's what I want to know. Phil, do you have any last-minute questions to ask Victoria while she's here?
Yeah, I was curious, what's your dream, like, TikTok duet? Who's your favorite creator that you would love to,
like, collab?
Do a TikTok with? Yeah, collab with, not duet. Like, who are some of your favorite TikTokers?
Okay, so, like, my whole thing was I never followed any, like, influencers or TikToks for the longest time. I was like, this shit's so dumb. Like, fuck me, bro. This is hard. I mean,
you're like, everybody sucks but me.
No. Like, it's like, I want to, like, collab with, like, Amy Winehouse. Like, I want to collab with dead people. Elon Musk. I want to do it with that motherfucker, yo. Me, him, and Joe Rogan would be, like, the World War III, like, battle of the century. Like, that's what I would want to do.
That'd be my dream. Is, like, my dream is to wake up every day and just have, like, a sick ass guest that, like, is so excited to be on my podcast every morning. Like, I would love that. He lives the life.
Yeah. I know, I would love to, like, actually end a fist fight with him, because I feel like that'd be so fucking funny. Like, he'd be like, I don't want to hit you, and I'd be like, fuck you. Like, we battle.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the influencer world you would love to, like, collaborate with or just meet?
For sure. I think, like, Amal Clooney. She's done amazing things for, like, who's a lot that? Of causes, I think. George Clooney's wife. She's a lawyer.
I was like,
I'm really into charity and stuff like that, and, like, civil rights, like, or, like more, like, activism and stuff like that. And, like, I think that's a dialogue or, like, influencer subsection that's not really touched on. And so I think, like, talking with her and collabing with her and talking about the shit she does is dope.
What in, like, what genre of charity work or, like, activism are you kind of the most passionate about, or are you referencing?
When I, like, ran the New York City Marathon, I raised money for multiple sclerosis, which is what my mom has. And so, like, that's why I got into running, because I'm really into charity.
What is
that? And so, like, when it's, like your immune system starts attacking itself and your, like, body breaks down. Like, you can't walk. You can't. Yeah. It's, like, definitely hardo as fuck. And so, like, charity is really important to me. And so, like, one of my videos was, like, once I started getting creator fund, like, once I'm starting, like, being able to pay my own bills off this, like, it's really important to me to put a, like, percentage aside to charity and, like, work in activism and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Do you think, obviously, besides your mom dealing with that, I mean, that's such, like, an impactful thing. Is there another place in your heart that just, like, feels called to do, like, charity stuff? Or do you think it's really was derived from your mom?
I think that, like, it's really important that, like, more people have access to, like healthy food, you know, like the fact that, like, it costs $5 for a fucking McDonald's meal and $20 for a salad from Whole Foods is kind of fucked. Like, things that, like, the subway is less expensive than a city bike. So, like, just making, like, public health care and, like, things that are important for, like, underprivileged communities more accessible, like, the point of
why is that, like, I mean, obviously this is, like, duh, like, that would bug anyone, but, like, why is that so important to you? Like, why do you feel like you need to do something about it kind of thing?
Well, it's, like, my mom, like, grew up, like, really, really poor, like, on, like, food stamps and stuff like that. And so, like, she attributes, like, her MS from a lack of nutrition at a young age, and, like, growing up just eating, like, Tang and Oreos and, like, shit, the shit they could afford, you know? And so, like if you, like, don't have a good foundation, how are you expected to build this house that's your life? Like, everything.
Wow. Crumbles. Okay, that's really, really interesting. Yeah. I love that. I wanted to ask, when you were at IU, did you ever hear about Dance Marathon?
Yeah. No, and I also heard some horrible things about, like in the fraternity systems where guys would raise money and pocket it. So that, like, really set me, like, off.
What?
Like, also at a lot of smaller colleges too, like in North Carolina, like I know a bunch of guys, like do you like, not Dance Marathon is obviously like reputable and stuff like that, but with any charity work, there's like discrepancies with who's on the board and stuff like that. So it's important to me that I'm like really fucking heavily involved with the charity and that it's doing what the money's being donated for.
Yeah, totally. Phil, what do you have to say about the IUDM comment?
Well, I haven't heard of that, but that's definitely, it could happen, like asking for Venmos for IUDM, like you never know if it's actually going to go there. So it's good shout.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's a good reminder to know like where your money's going. Even myself, like if people ask me to donate to IUDM, I'm like, yeah, can I just Venmo? Which I shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
yeah, send like me the link. Send me the real life. Yeah. Like it's crazy. But IUDM does do great things.
Yeah, Phil and I are both really heavily, I guess just passionate kind of about IUDM and Riley Children's Hospital, because Phil was actually a Riley kid.
No way. That's crazy. Yeah. That's so awesome. Sick little boy.
Yeah, it's cool though. Yeah,
I mean, that's just like important with who you become though, you know, like it's so like formative.
Oh, definitely. It was a huge life lesson.
Yeah. Anyway, well, what a good note to end on. Donate to your favorite charity.
Yeah, or donate like a percentage of your income to charity.
Yeah, period. And Victoria, thank you so much for coming on the pod. And I'm so honored that this was your first one.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for popping my motherfucking cherry. Like, I loved it.
Did you have a good time? Like, is that something you would want to do in the future? Like, be on more people's podcasts or maybe have one on your own?
For sure. I think I have a lot to say and very little direction. So it's important to have somebody to mediate it.
Yeah. And what's cool about podcasts is like, you don't have to have a direction. Like, it could just be all over the place, which would be an interesting pod. Anyway, where can everyone follow you? Pimp yourself out.
Oh, Victoria Paris F on any and all social media.
Awesome. And Phil, where can everyone follow you?
Philip King 10 on Instagram and Phil King 10 on TikTok, I believe.
Oh my God, know your username.
Damn, I'm going to go follow you now and comment on your post and be like, where's the comment, bitch?
Phil King where's 10, the mother 14?
Yeah. I just followed you, Victoria.
I'm banging the follow button so quick. Let's
go. All of his IU friends are going to be so jealous.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to be like, yo, I remember when that ugly bitch went here.
No chance. And then you can follow me at TK's Juicy Polls. Follow me on YouTube. Just type in Taylor King, which by the way, Victoria, we really need to like tackle the YouTube game with you.
Fuck, bro. Chill. I'm trying.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And be sure to rate, review, follow us on all of the social media accounts we just said. And be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.
Bye. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.